from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a Tuesday afternoony, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
No. We'll do it live!
You want to go see the Kraken tomorrow night against the Coyotes?
Sure.
You know you do. First game back for the second half of the year after the All-Star break. And go see Jordan Eberle play in person after his big goal over the weekend. VenueKings.com has you covered. How about this in the NBA? C.J. McCollum is now a Pelican. Blazers sending guard C.J. McCollum to the Pelicans. Blazers get Josh Hart. Tomas Satoransky? Is that how you say it?
I don't know him,
okay,
to be perfectly honest.
But you know Pascal Siakam.
I do know Siakam. Yep.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Didi Lazauda. I think I went to Hebrew school with a kid named Didi Lazauda. And the Blazers also get, by the way, a protected first-round pick and 2 second-round picks, all for C.J. McCollum, who's got 2 years left on his contract he signed in 2019.
And the Pacers are trading Domantas Sabonis, who is having a monster year. He's averaging 19-12-5.
Wow.
Along with Jeremy Lamb and our old buddy Justin Holiday.
You know, when I saw that deal, by the way, I thought it was Arvydas Sabonis.
Arvydas.
He's not your Vetus. Not my Vetus. He's our Vetus.
Yeah, they're all going to Sacramento for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson.
Wizards guard Bradley Beal is going to miss the rest of the year with wrist surgery. How about Virginia knocking off Duke last night?
Yeah.
At Cameron Indoor, got a big one tonight in East Lansing. Number 14, Wisconsin. At number 17, Michigan State, 4 o'clock. Who do you like in that game, by the way? Spartans are giving 4.
There's two other ones I like better.
Illinois-Purdue?
Yes.
Okay.
Illinois.
Okay. That's 13 at 3 tonight.
Yep. And I like number one going down tonight.
Ooh, really?
How about that?
Okay.
Kansas over Auburn.
I call my guy.
Let's go.
Get to the Emerald Queen. NCAA also tomorrow. No, Thursday. Huskies back at 7:30, 8 o'clock tip-off against Arizona State right here on KJR.
The Pro Bowl drew 6.7 million viewers. Sounds like a lot, but it was the smallest audience in 16 years.
But still bigger than any Major League Baseball playoff game last year outside of the World Series. How about that? NHL hockey tonight, first game up. Hurricanes at Ottawa, 4 o'clock. Pittsburgh at Boston, New Jersey and Montreal also all at 4 o'clock. Kraken again back at it tomorrow night against the Coyotes. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff right here on 950 KJR.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
What'd you say the Pro Bowl ratings were? What was that number, by the way?
6.7 million.
6.7 million. Okay, so according to Austin Carp, I don't even
Austin
know.
Austin Carr, the old Boston Celtic?
No.
Oh.
I think he might be dead, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not 1,000% sure, but check it out. Austin Carp works for the Sports Business Journal. He says what was the number again you said?
6.7.
6.7 million viewers for the Pro Bowl, as you said, was the smallest audience for that game since 2006, but also would have been number three. I want to correct the record here. Number three for the MLB postseason heading into the World Series, only trailing the Yankees-Red Sox wild card game and the Dodger-Braves NLCS Game 6. So you kind of wonder for a league like the NFL who's used to putting up monster numbers, like you know as well as I, there's a lot of athletes out there, whether current or former, and you'll approach them about doing things like endorsements, right, for the radio station. I can get you a deal, you know, whatever. What do you want? Oh, I want $5,000 a week. Well, we can't do that. Well, then forget about it. It's not going to happen. Like, for those guys, it's just not even worth it.
Right.
If the NFL can't get 8-9 million people to watch the Pro Bowl, is it even worth it to put the damn thing on? I mean, baseball would cut their hands off to have numbers like this. But the NFL may say, forget about it.
I think you're going to reach a point where the NFL feels like that because I don't see it going back up again. I mean, the game can...
The ratings, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, the game continues to devolve year after year after year, which means the ratings are going to continue to devolve. I mean, just look at it. It's not just... This is a steady decline. It went 8.6 4 years ago to 8.2 to 7.9,
right.
Canceled last year, now to 6.7. I mean, it is steadily going down. If it continues to go down this pace, 3-4 years from now, you're talking about less than 5 million people watching the Pro Bowl. Now the NFL goes, probably isn't worth it.
And if it goes at this pace in 20 years, there'll be nobody watching.
There's nobody watching it.
Zero. Not one frame. I mean, at some point, it'll hit a wall and there's nobody there. But I don't know. I mean, maybe there's an angle they can play with the gambling aspect with the Pro Bowl, whatever that is. I got no idea. I mean, now that gambling is legal basically everywhere, you can maybe find a way to include, like, DraftKings or Barstool with their Penn Gaming Company and do something like that. But still pretty monster numbers, man. It's like I said today on Twitter, the NFL could have a farting contest, literally, and people would tune in. If there was a farting contest between Aaron Donald and, like, I don't know, give me the biggest player in the NFL, like physically.
I was just going to go Greg Gaines.
Or
Aaron Donald's buddy, Greg Gaines.
Greg Gaines and Aaron Donald went to a chili parlor and then had a farting contest at night. Would people tune in to watch it?
I would tune in to a farting contest. More than I would tune in for the Pro Bowl.
I'm with Jackson.
That actually might be kind of fun. That's a hell of an idea. See, you see what we do? That's what we are idea people here on the show.
That's the kind of things to do. Skills competitions and stupid stuff like that.
Farting contest, eating contest, yeah. Things like that, whatever. You know, you get a bunch of, you know, players that are lactose intolerant and give them a gallon of milk and whoever hits the bathroom last wins. I don't know. Things like that.
Tug of war, paper airplane toss like you guys did yesterday.
I mean, loogie distance contest.
Yeah. We live in a post-Jackass world. Right?
Yes.
And they're making a new Jackass?
Yeah, when's that coming out?
I have no idea.
Did
it come out?
Is it out already?
It is.
The first one was awesome. My favorite scene, and maybe it was the second one, where the guy goes into his parents' bedroom at night and wakes them up with fireworks.
Yes. Bam Margera.
You remember that?
Yes.
So we live in a world now where things like that are funny. Mm-hmm. We can laugh at stuff like that. So I think the NFL should follow suit. Why not?
Sure.
Why not? No,
anything's better than what we saw on Sunday.
Going to Pete Carroll's dorm room during training camp and toss a M80 into his cot and see what happens.
What the hell was that? My God.
Anyway, we got a big show today. Well, not really. It's kind of lame, but we're going to call it big.
Wow.
Yeah, Dave Sampson, who works for CBS, we've had him on a ton of times. He's the former president of the Marlins, won a title there, now works with CBS. We're going to get him on the air, and I want to ask him a couple things, namely the labor thing. What's going on there? Like, you know, dumb this down for us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, act like we are dumb and dumber on the radio show. The town is that way, okay, which we are. Talk to us like we're idiots, and let's just explain to everybody what the hell's going on with baseball. How excited, honestly, should we be about Baseball America naming the Mariners the number one farm system in the majors? And then number two, with the or three, with the money the Mariners apparently still have to spend because Robbie Ray and Adam Frazier can't be it. They're going to go out and do more because they have a ton of money to spend. What does he see him doing? Does he see him blowing it all? Does he see him keeping some for the deadline? So Dave Sanson coming up, John Wilner coming up at 5 o'clock today. We have a lot to discuss with him, apparently including a what the hell you talking about Wilner, right?
Yep.
At 5 o'clock tonight.
Absolutely. Jumped off the page of the old Seattle Times today.
All right. Courtesy of simplyseattle.com. So we'll do that at 5 o'clock. But this quote by Ryan Clark that we played yesterday, and was this actually yesterday on Get Up, like yesterday morning on ESPN?
Yes, it was.
So we talked about this a lot. Everyone in town is buzzing about this. Everybody's talking about it and yakking about it and sharing their thoughts on social media. For those that missed it, do we have it, by the way, ready to go?
Yes,
Jackson. This is what former Steeler defensive back Ryan Clark had to say yesterday about our guy Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is a very good football player. Russell Wilson is a really good quarterback. Russell Wilson's not a great quarterback. Russell Wilson is not an all-time great quarterback. He's never going to be in those conversations. And so we have to stop putting him in that world, in that world that any team that has Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl. This is kind of like Big Ben's trajectory, but I think Big Ben was the better football player. But we have to stop including Russell Wilson in these talks that if Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? If Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? This isn't basketball. And frankly, Russell Wilson actually isn't that great. He isn't that much of a factor that changes who football teams are. And so now it's thinking to ourselves, is he an upgrade over the quarterback we have? And can he make us a better team? And that's not every team in the NFL.
Huh. One thing he said yesterday, that we didn't talk about. So he said Big Ben's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. Yeah. I mean, just real quick, do we agree with that? Big Ben is a better quarterback? Because he won two titles. He never won the MVP, right? Big Ben never did. Did he ever finish like in the voting for the MVP?
Probably somewhere.
He was the offensive rookie of the year in 2004, led the league in passing yards twice. Yeah. So I see a a different athlete in Russell Wilson versus Big Ben, right? I see a better quarterback and a guy who, at the end of his career, is going to put up better numbers. So I disagree with that. Maybe Ryan says that just because he's a Steeler. But it's interesting to me that when you talk about Russell Wilson, and I put a poll out today on Twitter, by the way, Dick, asking people right now,
update on the poll,
is Russell Wilson today an all-time great quarterback? And it's 50-50. It's now 51-49 with the yeses in the lead, just about 3,000 votes in. Is Russell Wilson right now today an all-time great quarterback? Because a lot of people like to quote, well, he's number two in passing touchdowns after the first 10 years behind Manning. He's number two in quarterback wins behind Manning for the first 10 years. And he's one of the youngest quarterbacks ever to win a championship, joining guys like Joe Namath and Joe Montana. So some folks think he is an all-time great right now, and we can debate what all-time great means. We had that conversation yesterday. How do you define all-time great? To me, I think there's a difference between a Hall of Famer and an all-time great quarterback. Yes. I think it's a smaller category, and I said yesterday, Russell Wilson can get there. I don't think he's there right now, but 51% of the audience believe that Russell Wilson today is an all-time great quarterback. So I went and looked up some numbers. I just said, I swear to you, I'm not even Dick taking a side here.
Okay.
All right, you got that crap-eating grin on your face back there.
I think I know it's coming. I hope I know it's coming.
I'm not taking a side because I was even surprised by this. That let's just compare Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson because we just got done talking about first 10 years in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning threw 306 touchdowns. Russell's thrown 292, 14 less than Peyton. First 10 years, Peyton won 105 games. Russell's won 104 games. So from touchdowns and wins, they're right there with each other. I thought to myself, well, Russell played later, so he probably has thrown more passes than Peyton Manning has, and that's not true. He actually has thrown 670 less passes than Peyton Manning did in his first 10 years, and in those extra 670 passes, Peyton's only got 14 extra touchdowns, and he threw 66 more picks than Russell Wilson did. Russell Wilson's got a higher passer rating. He's got a higher completion percentage than Peyton Manning does. Peyton Manning basically had a season and a half worth of extra throws on Russell Wilson, yet only has 14 more touchdowns, one more win, but also has 66 more picks than Russell does. The problem is this. Despite those numbers, in his first 10 years in the NFL, Russell Wilson has zero MVP votes. Peyton Manning in his first 10 years, won two MVPs, five top three finishes, and six top five finishes. He led the league in yards twice, touchdowns twice, and ratings three times. And Russell has led the league in touchdowns once and passer rating one time. Russell Wilson also has more playoff wins than Peyton Manning did his first 10 years, 9-7. Yet Peyton has all the accolades that Russell Wilson doesn't have. Why is that?
Well, first of all, it's hard to compare Russell's 10 years with Peyton's 17.
I'm just talking about 10 years.
Right, but when you're talking about all-time greats,
right.
It's hard to, you have to project to see whether he's going to be
an
all-time great.
I'm asking you today, is Russell Wilson an all-time great quarterback? That's the top of the pyramid that we're talking about right now.
No, and I voted no.
Okay, so forget what he could do because both of us agree he can get there.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, I'm comparing what Peyton did his first 10 to what Russell did his first 10, and you can argue that Russell Wilson is the better quarterback. He's got better numbers. He's thrown less passes, yet he's got 14 less touchdowns and 66 less interceptions. He's got more playoff wins. He's got one less win. Yet Peyton's the guy with the MVPs and the league leader stats to his record.
I'm trying to think if I would give any of these guys, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, I mean, Tom Brady, of course, because of the championships, but would I give any of these guys all-time status after their first 10 years? I'm not sure I would. I mean, maybe Peyton Manning, because he came up with so much hype. You're asking why. I mean, Peyton Manning was the darling. He was the first overall draft pick.
Is that why Manning got the accolades? Because there was hype for him?
I think so, and he was I think that's part of it. I think Peyton Manning was a monster name before he ever set foot in the NFL.
Absolutely. But isn't that crazy, though, that Peyton Manning had all these accolades by the time he got to his 11th year in the NFL? The numbers are very similar. Russell Wilson has accomplished just as much, and he threw less passes, almost 700 less than Peyton did. But he's the one with the MVPs. He's the one with the top five finishes, and Russell Wilson can't even get a friggin' vote.
Softy, here's
Here's
the answer.
The competition?
Yes. The answer is what you do relative to the competition. Because look at those years that Peyton Manning was in the MVP and winning those MVPs and in those top five.
He was crushing guys' numbers.
Right, exactly. He was the leader in all of these categories. The problem is, over the last 10 years, you look at the way the NFL has gone. Numbers, passing numbers, have gone so far up that Russell Wilson, sure, they're the same as Peyton Manning, but relative to the competition, Russell is nowhere near the Aaron Rodgers. When Peyton was still, I guess Tom Brady, he's nowhere near the top of that elite category of those guys throwing for these bonkers numbers, where Peyton was crushing everybody else. That is why Peyton won the MVPs. That's why he has those numbers. That's why he was an all-time great after 10 years, and Russell is not.
Go back and look at Troy Aikman's career numbers, that he would be like the 25th best quarterback in the NFL today. Go back and look at Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach's numbers. I mean, you can't even compare.
It's all relative.
Right, but I'm not even comparing Russell Wilson to what Peyton Manning did. What you're talking about, Russell's competition to Peyton's competition. You're talking about comparing Peyton to his competition and Russell to his competition. And you're saying that Peyton Manning was the elite of the elite during that 10-year run. And Russell Wilson has not been.
Which is how you compare the MVPs, the awards, the voting, all that. That's where that comes in.
Well, and I'm just looking.
So then he's not an all-time great.
Athlon actually just did a best quarterbacks, top 25 quarterbacks of all time. And you're looking at the top 10, and I'm sorry. I can't put Russell Wilson in the top 10. With the Bradys and the Mannings and the Montanas and the Drew Breeses and the John Elways, I just can't do it. I mean, I have to go to the next 10.
Right.
And then you're starting to get into the Fran Tarkingtons, the Roger Staubachs. Big Ben is in the second 10. I can put Russell in the second 10. But to me, a second 10 quarterback is not an all-time great. You have to be at least a top 10, if not a top 5 quarterback to be an all-time great.
I think one thing that hurts Russell Wilson, and this is another debate that's happening on Twitter, I think part of it, as you always like to talk about, is the recency bias, that right now there's more, I'm trying to come up with a better word than disdain, that's probably too strong a word, but there's more disdain
angst.
Right now, there's more angst, there's more irritation regarding Russell Wilson now than there ever has been in his career, right? I mean, even Mike Sando, I think, said today that, hey, if he retired today, maybe he's a Hall of Famer, but there's a chance he would not make it if he retired today. And he probably should not make it if he retired today. I don't think he is an all-time great right now. I totally agree with you on that.
And I'm surprised so many people said he was. I mean, I'm surprised he's 50-50. I thought it'd be more like 70-30.
Yeah. No. Maybe it's because of where we live that Hawk fans just want to vote for their guy. I don't know. But, you know, look, I mean, to me, there's a difference between an all-time great and a Hall of Famer, right? Like, Phillip Rivers is probably going to the Hall of Fame. He's top five in both yards and passing touchdowns. One day he will be in the Hall of Fame. Phillip Rivers is not the same category as Joe Montana. And they're both in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. So there's another level, I think, that you can get to. So if we agree that Russell Wilson is not an all-time great quarterback right now, what does he have to do? First of all, he's got to just keep playing and pile up the stats.
Yep.
And then number two, probably win another championship to slam the door.
To cement it. He needs to separate himself from Breeze and Rodgers.
Yes, I think if he wins a second championship, he will go down as one of the all-time. If he's top five all-time in yards and touchdowns and has two titles, I think he will be an all-time great.
Yep.
I also think what hurts Russell Wilson is what we're talking about right now on Twitter. You know, how much credit do we give him for the Seahawks winning a championship in 2013? You know, what's more likely, that the LOB wins a title without Russell or Russell Wilson wins a title without the LOB? If Russell Wilson never had that great defense, does he have a championship right now?
No.
No. No way.
If the LOB never had Russell Wilson, but they had Marshawn Lynch and they had Zach Miller and Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin and Russell Okung and Max Unger and, I don't know, Matt Schaub at quarterback or Matt Flynn at quarterback. Who was the guy that you mentioned at quarterback?
Well, Kyle Bowler.
Kyle Bowler. Whatever.
Trent Dilfer.
Right? Yeah. Whoever. I mean, the Ravens won with Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Buccaneers won with Brad Johnson, although, as Dick pointed out off the air, Brad Johnson had decent numbers that year. We've seen teams with great defenses win titles. We haven't exactly seen teams with great quarterbacks with awful defenses win championships. Mm-hmm. Look at Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Look at Drew Brees. Look at Dan Marino. Look at John Elway until Kyle Shanahan or Mike Shanahan showed up.
I think you would have needed...
How much credit do we give the guy?
I think the general consensus from Seahawks fans is that the title years were more LOB-centric than they were Russell-centric, but then I think the general consensus would say, yeah, but the last 7 years, Russell has made them a playoff team.
And they haven't won anything of significance
right
since then. So then you get to the conversation, okay, Peyton Manning carried those teams. Aaron Rodgers carried those teams. Drew Brees carried those
teams. Did they
have
bad defenses when they won titles, though?
I
don't think they really had bad defenses when they won championships.
They were never as good as that.
No, that's true.
They never had an elite defense.
No, that's true.
We know that for sure. So when Ryan Clark says something like, you can't just assume you can win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson as your quarterback, is he right? Because we have 7 years of data to show that so far he is right. And if he is right, then why are we kicking around the idea of re-signing this guy in 2 years from now? We'll talk about that next on 950 KJR.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for Super Bowl 56. Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
We have to stop putting him in that world that any team that has Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl. This is kind of like Big Ben's trajectory, but I think Big Ben was a better football player. This isn't basketball, and frankly, Russell Wilson actually isn't that great. He isn't that much of a factor that changes who football teams are.
That's Ryan Clark on Get Up Yesterday talking about Russell Wilson just crapping all over our quarterback on live TV, for God's sake.
Well, welcome. Obviously,
my happy place.
Who do you think he is?
Well, he disagrees with Jackson because Jackson thinks we'd win like two games without Russell Wilson. So he's obviously not in cahoots with our friend Jackson Phil.
Well, hold on there because I think what I said is still true with what Ryan said mostly being true as well.
Well, we saw the Seahawks without Russell Wilson this year, and I didn't like what I saw. Did you like what you saw?
I like what I saw on one side of the ball. I like what
I saw. But there's two sides.
Yeah, the offense sucked without. Well, they also
looked terrible.
Well, they also didn't have a starting running back. I think the Seahawks look differently during the Geno Smith regime if Rashad Penny is healthy.
Yeah, maybe, but Rashad Penny's got to stay healthy for 17 weeks, which he hasn't proven he can do yet. I mean, we could do that song and dance all day. I just know this, that the Seahawks are not a playoff team without Russell Wilson.
Correct.
They're just not.
Correct.
So whether it's two wins or wins or six wins or whatever, they're not making the playoffs, and they're picking high in the draft unless they trade that pick to the Jets for Jamal Adams.
They would never do that, would they?
Right. The question I asked is, well, you know, look, Ryan Clark says you can't just assume that you can win a Super Bowl if Russell Wilson as your quarterback, and we got 7 years of data that says that so far that's been true. Russell Wilson is not good enough to just carry a football team on his own to a Super Bowl. But outside of Tom Brady, has there really been a guy that is good enough to do something like that? You know, Aaron Rodgers needed a running game. Drew Brees needed a better defense to pull it off. Even Brady had good defenses when he was with the Patriots. So here's the thing for me about re-signing Russell. I would say re-sign Russell Wilson, but give him much better talent around him, which is why I kind of agree more with what Jackson is saying, is that maybe this isn't really a Russell Wilson problem. It's more of a Pete Carroll and John Schneider problem with the rest of this roster. For example, I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3. I'm going to give you seven numbers, okay? Seven numbers. You tell me what you think these numbers are. 830, 469, 240, 1151, 1230, 681, and 749. What are those numbers? Anybody have any idea what those numbers mean?
No.
Those are the leading yardage totals from the best running back the Seahawks have had since 2014.
Jeez.
Thomas Rawls went for 830 in 2015. Kristen Michael, 470 in 2016. Mike Davis, 240 in 2017. Carson, back-to-back 1,000-yard years. And then Chris Carson, 681 2 years ago. And Penny, 750. They have been a disaster at running back.
Great call.
Since Marshawn Lynch left here. An absolute disaster. And they've been a disaster on the offensive line. They've been a disaster at running back, and let's face it, they've become a disaster on the defensive front as well because their sack numbers and their takeaways are going down every single year. So if Ryan Clark were sitting here, what I would say to him is that if you're arguing with me that Russell Wilson is not good enough to take a team to a Super Bowl with crap at running back, crap on the offensive line, and crap at defensive line, I'd say, you know what? You're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. But who is? Who is in the NFL capable of doing something like that? Besides maybe one guy in the history of the league. Who is?
And that one guy's taking $10 million less.
That one guy just retired.
And that one guy just retired. Well, Russell Wilson, the argument for re-signing Russell Wilson is he's an insurance policy to make sure your house doesn't burn down.
Right. Against disaster. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
He is your insurance policy. Now, you pay so much for that insurance policy that you can't put on a new bedroom. You can't go up a floor. You can't do anything else with that house other than make sure it doesn't burn down. But you can live pretty comfortably in that house for the next 5 or 6 years and win 10, 11 games a season. Maybe pop 1 year and make the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. But that's what that's probably the best you're going to get if you decide to pay a premium for that insurance policy.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, I look at Russell Wilson and I think all of us agree that it's going to be very difficult to win another title because of his contract, just like the Chiefs are going to have a hard time with Patrick Mahomes and when Josh Allen's deal comes up and when Joe
Lamar
Burrow's
Jackson
deal,
this year.
Lamar Jackson's going to get $40 million. The Ravens are basically done when they pay Lamar Jackson $40 million unless Lamar Jackson can break the mold and run for 1,000 yards every year and throw for 4,000 yards. Maybe he's the guy that could pull it off. But, I mean, guys, again, look at those numbers. Ever since Marshawn Lynch walked away, they have not given Russell Wilson the proper support. They have put this Ferrari in the garage and there's leaks everywhere. And they're leaving the door open, the weather's getting in, the thing is rusting. It's pathetic what they've done. So instead of trashing on Russell Wilson in the last 7 years, like Ryan Clark did yesterday, maybe we should be hammering the front office for not giving the guy the support he needs.
Well, the funny part is that the fact that on this Ferrari, they've upgraded the tires, they've made the wheels great, they've given him a DK Metcalf and a Tyler Lockett. He has some, but the actual engine...
He has no line.
It's gone. There is no engine in this car.
They haven't had a Pro Bowl or All-Pro offensive lineman in 10 years. Okay? So I don't know. Again, to me, it's pretty damn black and white and cut and dry. You want a guy like that. If you're going to invest in a guy like that, it's like when you buy a boat, right? You got to take care of it, right? You don't want to leave it out and leave it in the water through the winter, blah, blah, blah. You got to take care of the damn thing, right? If you want to, you know, get your kid a fancy set of golf clubs, then you better damn well get him some lessons so he can learn to play golf. You want to have a guy. Why are you investing $35 million in Russell Wilson if you're not going to supplement that with the proper help that you need to take advantage of having Russell Wilson in the first damn place?
Now, I would agree that the offensive line has not been good. I think that if you put a quarterback back there that knows, A, knows how to read defenses, B, is comfortable in the pocket, and three, gets rid of the football, I think that offensive line looks a hell of a lot better over the last 5 years than it has with Russell Wilson.
How much of that is because, is it like the chicken or the egg, that Russell Wilson is playing like that because of the offensive line?
There's probably a little bit of both.
You get my drift?
Yeah, because he's afraid of getting killed.
Well, he just became a different player. He just doesn't have confidence in the group of guys he's got in front of him. I mean, he basically admitted that when he went on Dan Patrick's show last year, that he doesn't have confidence. I mean, if a guy's got uber confidence in his line, he's not going on national radio saying he's tired of getting hit.
When they had absolutely no running game a couple of years ago, 2017-18, every time Seattle got into a third and medium or third and long, it was just tee off time on Russell Wilson. And right. I really felt right. bad for him back then yep. because he really had no other option but to just scramble. I haven't seen that the last couple of years. I have not seen jailbreak Russell Wilson's dead every time it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7.
Yeah.
What I have seen is dropping back to pass, sitting, scrambling, sack. That's what I've seen from Russell
yeah,
Wilson.
Yeah.
I think the offensive line has been okay mm-hmm. the last couple years. Not good, not yeah. very good. I think yeah. they've been okay, and Russell Wilson has done a terrible job standing in the pocket and finding guys open.
Well, I think if you really want to take advantage of Russell Wilson, you have to have more than just okay. And you have to have more than just okay on draft day, really, mm-hmm. because you can't go out and buy the guys you want. Now, we'll see what happens this year. They got, you know, $50 million. Maybe this is the year they finally go out and spend big-time money on free agents. But I'll just wrap it up with this, that they have done a horrible job of replacing Marshawn Lynch. They have done, overall, I believe, a horrible job of replacing the Legion of Boom and Michael Bennett and Cliff Avril and Chris Clemens and Red Bryant and Clinton McDonald, that group that was so deep. And again, nobody, I think, in reasonable, rational terms would ever say you have to replace A with A. But can you replace A with B mm-hmm. or A with C?
Well, they haven't replaced the top end guys. They've replaced those other guys. Chris Clemens is the world.
They haven't come close.
But they haven't replaced the top end guys.
They haven't come close to having difference makers yes. at those spots. Edge rushers, safeties, corners that are gigantic difference makers. Guys that tilt the field. They haven't done that. And I wonder if they ever will. Ever again. You know, they had what looks like on paper a decent draft a couple years ago with the Daryl Taylor
very
draft.
Good. 2020 draft looks
right.
really good.
But, you know, that's got to continue.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's got to continue. So, 49451 for testimonials. Again, another reason why we need the Softy and Dick show board to tell us where the blame pie lies with the Seahawks. And by the way, we have put together an opportunity for you guys out there to help dictate policy for the radio show. And if you end up being one of the lucky people selected for the Softy and Dick show board, you're going to be a big deal for at least a year. We're going to explain why next on 950 KJR.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's Tuesday somewhere, so you know what that means. It's Taco Tuesday!
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
So we were talking earlier about, before we get to the Softy and Dick show board opportunity, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity
indeed.
For somebody out there to be a part of really a big-time organization like ours.
They can put it on their resume, right?
Oh,
I mean,
would it help?
Absolutely.
Says
are you kidding
here
me?
You were on the Softy and Dick show board back in 2022. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, you're out next. the Saints, when Breeze won the championship, they were 20th in scoring defense.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the Packers were in 2010 when they won the title with Rodgers? Because he's got the one title, right? Rodgers
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
Anybody want to guess?
I'll guess.
Points allowed.
I guess like about 9th. They were pretty good that year, I think.
Okay.
15.
15? Number 2 in the NFL.
Whoa.
How about that? So,
better than pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the question was, does Russell Wilson win a championship without the LOB? And I think the answer is no, but looking at that number, you could also argue that Rodgers doesn't have a title without the number 2 scoring
That's
defense
right.
in the NFL either. So here's the deal. We've been kicking this around for a long time, and I'll be honest with you, finally got off our ass and did something about it, right? Been talking about this forever. We want to put together like an editorial board made up of listeners that decide policy for the radio show. Like all the stuff we're talking about today. Who was more responsible for the 2013 championship, the defense or Russell Wilson? Well, the editorial board has spoken, and they say it's the defense. They say they would have won the title with 10 guys on offense. Okay? Things like that, right? So we want you guys and gals out there to be a part of a board of people that we get together whenever there's a big topic on the air. You guys decide policy. You guys decide the opinion of the radio show. Not necessarily the opinion of the three of us on individual basis, but the opinion of the show. Like the Times editorial board speaks for the paper, but they don't speak for Matt Calkins or Larry Stone or Danny Westney.
Right.
They speak for the paper, right? So the paper says that Chris Hansen's a putz and the arena should be on Queen Anne. Right? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you want to be a part of it, go to the website, sportsradiokjr.com, and there's an application process to fill out on the website. We have some questions for you, blood sample, urine sample, credit card address, all that stuff, name COVID of your firstborn, exactly.
I did have an email asking if there was a urine test.
Okay, whatever. Like, have you ever had a urine test for drugs? Is that what you were asking people?
No, it was just a follow-up question of like, okay, by the way, does this require a urine test?
Yeah, because I think that if you do have a urine test and you're clean, you should be out. You cannot be a part of this board unless you have a drug history, okay, number one. But number two, we're going to rely on you guys out there to, you know, basically speak for the radio show. Anytime a big topic comes up, we'll get the group on a text thread or whatever, and we'll ask you, hey, what do you think? We'll get a vote, and we'll tell people on the air what the board thinks. We're going to get together a couple times a year at the Ram. They're going to buy burgers and fries for people. You'll be a part of the mug club at the Ram, $100 to the Ram as well. Simply Seattle will give you 30% off everything you buy for the entire year that you're on the board. And oh, by the way, you'll get a free membership at Lakeland Village Golf Club.
That is a hell of a
just for being
package.
A part of the board. And you get the prestige. You're walking around town. You're the cock of the walk.
Let's just
come on.
My mom and dad have been on numerous boards in their day, and guess what they get for being on said boards? They get nothing but the opportunity to donate money to said board that they're on. So, like, they have to pay to be on these boards.
But don't
boards.
They get to, like, kind of dictate, like, policy?
They do.
And they get
of
to,
course.
You know, mold the rules and all that and blah,
blah,
blah.
But you're actually getting something to be on this board.
Yes, because who would do it for free? Right? I mean, we're bribing you.
And savvy listeners, if you were listening to what Softy just said there, you will be on a text thread, which means you will have Softy and Dick Fane's phone numbers, which means that will be valuable.
Well, a lot of people have my number already because I tweeted it on accident like 3 years ago. And there's a lot of folks that I still get texts from people. I got no idea who they are. And I had one guy, I kid you not, like a year ago, text me at like 11:30 at night saying, and I wish I saved it. He's like, you know what? I heard your show and you're an idiot. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Be a normal person and send me a tweet. What the hell? So if you want to do this and you want to really be a part of dictating the opinion of the radio show, all you got to do is go to the website, and there's just a copy and paste thing. Apparently, we couldn't figure it out, so you could answer the questions on the website.
It's very easy.
Jackson
copy and paste the 15
says
questions.
You got to copy and paste it and email him back. And if you want to attach, you know, $50 from your Venmo account or whatever, that's totally fine too. So we're going to let this process go with the applications for a few weeks from now. We got some vacations coming up, and then when we come back, we'll kind of start sorting through them all. We'll do a draft. We'll go me, Jackson, and Dick, and each of us pick three people, and we'll find nine people to be on the board for 1 year. To be I think, a lot of help to the radio show, because sometimes we have issues deciding what we think. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I think half the time.
Well, a lot of times we think something, and then by 5 o'clock at night, we think something else.
So now you can tell us what the official position should be on the radio show. Like, you know, should Russell Wilson be re-signed? What's the official position of the program?
That will definitely be a question to be asked the board at some point
absolutely.
In 2022. There is no question about it.
Should Mike Hopkins be fired? I mean, that'll be on there as well, right? I mean, there's going to be a lot of, like, don't the Sounders do this for Garth Lagerwey?
And this is a year where the fans will vote on a vote of confidence if they want him to be retained or not.
When do they do that? When the season's over?
I think it's during this, like, kind of the last quarter of this season.
Is it every other year they do that?
That's every four years.
So
they
four.
Do that during the year?
Yeah.
That is bananas.
Yeah, so you have three and a half years to answer the question, do I believe the GM should be retained?
Can you imagine John Schneider, like, the Friday night before a game in, like, week 15, wondering if he's going to be on the job on Monday because the fans will vote his ass out? God, that... If they could do that in the NFL, there'd be multiple GMs fired.
Why do they do that during the season? Because the season is full of ebbs and flows, and if you catch the vote at just the wrong time...
Right, it's at the very, very end of the season, so you already get the accumulation. And then also, the last 3 years, you have a large sample size to say, should he keep going?
My question would be, why do they do it in the first place?
Well, to fan...
How many... And that's the only... thing that matters is the fan vote.
So it's about,
like, if what's the guy's name that owns
Adrian
the team? I apologize. If Adrian wants Garth Lagerwey back, but the fans don't, Is he out?
Yeah. If there is the right, and there are different stages. You have to have a certain percentage of the alliance vote, okay, which is the season ticket holders. You have to have a certain percentage of them vote, and then of that, you have to have a certain percentage of that vote no confidence in the GM. And both times, it has not even been close to the GM getting, you know, being sent out. But democracy in sports. That's
unbelievable.
Thing. Democracy in sports.
Did you hear how he just threw alliance out there? Yeah, I mean, do they have a rebel base on Endor?
That's a soccer thing, man.
Yeah, the Alliance Council. Yeah. The Alliance Council is a whole thing.
That's a soccer thing.
Yeah.
Should the Seahawks do the same thing?
Yes.
Should the Mariners do the same thing?
Yes.
Every franchise in sports should allow the fans to decide. Your head would explode.
You want Seahawks Twitter in charge of the Seahawks?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Dave Sampson, the former president of the Marlins, talking some baseball now with CBS. He'll explain to us if we're in danger of losing regular season games. And honestly, how fired up should we be about Baseball America saying the M's have the best farm system in the game next on 950 KJR.